Oh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Third and final hour here, Robbie and Rex Show in the game studio, sponsored by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, Electrical. I'm Joe Rex Show. Nick Keyser producing. Intern Brandon is here, and Paul Kaharski in for Robbie Stanley today and tomorrow.
I'm sponsored by Nashville Grass 365, easy backyard lawn installations that look great and get you maintenance free. No more fertilizing, watering, or mowing. Check them out at NashvilleGrass365.com.
And as we like to do every Monday at 8 o'clock, we're very happy to welcome in our friend Corey Curtis from News 2, who was on the sidelines in his hometown of Chicago with a little preseason action, Titans-Bears. Corey, are you resolved that Justin Fields' all-pro season is on the way after those two fantastic long touchdown passes?
You know, he really, you know, if you can air out a negative one-yard throw, he aired it out.
I mean, I got to say, man, some of the reaction to that is I found kind of amusing. I mean, hey, he threw the right pass. I mean, yeah. He completed the pass. They turned it into touchdowns. Like, you can't blame the guy, but my goodness. The Bears' explosive offense.
You have guys on your team to make plays, and DJ Moore makes plays, and Khalil Herbert's a guy capable of making plays.
Yes.
So, you know, that's what those guys get paid to do. Now, the Titans get paid to tackle him. Here's the thing that stuck out to me about Fields. Being down on the field with him, he's as big as Derrick Henry. That dude is a monster. He is absolutely huge.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's going to be really interesting with him and them this year, because I actually think that division could go one of four ways. For you, your biggest takeaways, Corey, on the Titans side of things from this game?
Well, it's not hard, because my number one focus all camp and everything has been the offensive line. And so regardless of who the Bears had out there, for them to have success moving the ball down the field, you know, giving Malik, you know, enough protection to deliver the football, creating some running lanes, I'm not coronating the offensive line fixed and ready to roll and amongst the elite in the league. They were functional. And you've got to walk before you can, you know, run. And so I was most pleased for the Titans with that aspect. That they got one series, they put a long drive together, they overcame a penalty, and they got down there and scored.
You do a lot of schmoozing with Vrabes down there as he stood way off to the side, which is where sideline reporters generally stand?
You know, Vrabes didn't even look at me. You know, so I mean, you know, I've just... But I did watch him some, and he was, you know, taking notes and watching, you know, intently. And I'm going to guess it may have been valuable for him, you know, because his mind isn't so preoccupied with the operation of the game. He had more just time for analysis of players. There was one play in particular where they punted, and Colton Dowell was the gunner, and he had a free shot at the ball carrier, at the return man, and missed him. And I just saw this shake of the head and the pen go into the notepad, and I went, oh, boy.
Did he sneak in any darts down there? A little Pall Mall come out of the,
you know? There were no Earl Weaver sightings.
Okay.
On the
sideline. Good. Yeah, what was it
he
like?
He tried to grow tomatoes, though.
What was it like with Terrell Williams? I mean, again, I said earlier, great post-game presser. He's welcome at any point. You know, what was your observation of him getting that opportunity and your interactions as well?
Well, I think, number one, I don't think the moment was too big for him. And I know it's just a preseason game. But, you know, he still got to run the whole operation, which can be daunting, I would think, for anybody doing it the first time. And it did not seem to be too big for him. I totally gagged at halftime when I interviewed him. You know, I had two questions set up to go, but he walked up and, you know, he's got this look on his face and, you know, I can tell he's excited and I'm just like, man, how's it going? And then he proceeded to answer the two questions I was going to ask. So, you know, I kind of had to audible from there. But, you know, I tell everyone, the guy is a fantastic communicator, you know, with his players and with us. And, you know, getting to know him a little bit more in this process, you understand how much the truth and being genuine is important to him. And he's right. That's what players, you know, will respond to. And I think that's what fans would respond to as well. I can't imagine, I'm not saying he's going to be a head coach one day, but I can't imagine him going into an interview and not being prepared and not being impressive from all of my interactions with him this week.
I know it's important to Vrabel that his guys who aren't in uniform be engaged mm-hmm. to some degree. What's your sense from your up-close perspective as to how all of those guys who didn't play were, to what degree were they engaged?
Well, I think it depends on the player. I think some of the guys are clear bored out of their minds, can't wait to go home. And I get it, because those are guys who are used to playing. They're not used to sitting and watching. And so some of them are. And then there are other guys like Kevin Byard, you know, who just kind of live and breathe football, who are a little bit more engaged in you know, what some of the younger guys are doing. And that's not saying the other guys aren't, but you can see on the sidelines some of the guys who are ready for these 60 minutes to tick off.
Vrabel talked yesterday, sorry, Joe, about, you know, he's asked specifically about Eric Garrar and how he tackled mm-hmm. well and everything, and he expanded that answer to talk about, you know, some guys are going to move up from 3 to 2 and get more playing time. Mm-hmm. And some guys are going to move down from 2 to 3 and not play as much. And that's a fact of life at this stage of the preseason. How much actual movement do you expect? Because sometimes a coach will say that and then it'll amount to 2 or 3 guys.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if it'll be 2 or 3 guys. I mean, you know, Garrar was good. I mean, you saw him. He flashed. He was fast. He made plays. And he's also a guy with return experience. So, you know, he's got that versatility that they covet. So it makes sense to see him more. I thought Kyaris Jackson was a guy who did not get in this game as early as I expected him to. And I thought when he played, he looked pretty good. And he's another guy I would expect, you know, to get in there sooner. I don't know how much shuffling you could have on the offensive line, because outside of the guys who started, it wasn't very good, was it? So I don't know how many guys you can shuffle around, you know, in there. Caleb Murphy had a sack. That's that guy who had like 25 and a half sacks at Ferris State. So maybe we get a little bit earlier look, you know, at him up in Minnesota. And, you know, we talk about these joint practices, you know, that's an opportunity for guys to also show they might deserve to play a little bit earlier in the football game.
So as you might imagine, Corey, we've talked a lot about the quarterbacks today. Mm-hmm. Like my prevailing thought after that game was, I mean, I could see the Titans having a decent backup quarterback this season. You know, I mean, they got to keep improving, but like I think you know, overall, certainly Malik Willis improved a lot, and I didn't think it was all bad at all for Will Levis either. What was your big takeaway just from those two guys?
Well, I mean, if you have that Malik Willis last year, you're in the playoffs. I think that you can pretty confidently say you're going to win a game. You know, I'm not saying which one, but you're going to win a game. You know, Malik has made a lot of progress. Yeah, he looks more comfortable. Frustrating to not only get a delay of game penalty, but a delay of game penalty out of a replay. I'm trying to figure out how that happened when you had that much time. And we've seen delay of game penalties in camp. So that's something he's got to work out. But as far as keeping his head up and finding receivers and downfield, you know, I think that's all made progress. You know, the interception, that's just a missed throw. And, you know, could Wiley have gotten it? Yeah, you could argue he could have gotten it. But that's a really high throw when your target is 6'7". And once in a while, they miss, right? I know they're pro quarterbacks. They're not supposed to miss. He just missed a little bit, but it was the right guy to throw to. And, you know, that's, you know, those are some of the progressional things, you know, that you're looking for. So, you know, I'm it's enough for me to look forward to watching him play in the next game.
Do you think it's a disappointment if Will Levis does not ascend and overtake Willis to be QB2 by the end of camp?
I would say that if Willis wasn't any better, but Willis has gotten better. And I think it would be more disappointing if Willis wasn't challenging him to hold him off, because that means Willis was not getting any better. And, you know, so, you know, you're getting improved play from him. And so I think that that's what you're supposed to be getting. He's supposed to be trying to fight off Will Levis. Now, there are people who thought Will Levis was a top 10 pick. I heard you guys earlier on the show talking about Marcus Mariota. And I remember my first days coming to camp, or the, you know, in the spring, when I think it was Mariota, Charlie Whitehurst, and Zach Mettenberger, and all three of them would drop back at the same time and throw the football. And I was like, okay, one of these things is not like the other. You know, he was clearly better than those other two guys were. There was no question about it. And he went the first, like, 3 weeks of camp without throwing a single interception, only to throw an interception on his very first pass of the first preseason game in Atlanta. Now, he went on to play pretty well in that game, but that was kind of a comical moment. And, you know, just offering my perspective on that, Mariota was much better than where Levis is at this point, but he was the second pick of the draft. Before, so he had to have been.
Before you ask your question, PK, how come Corey, who's same age as us, basically, how come he can remember all this stuff? Like, Corey's got photographic memory. You can't remember, like if he played.
You didn't ask me if he looked better at practice than the scrubs that he was around.
Anything. I asked you for anything. Any recollection. You didn't even know who the head coach was back then. Sorry, go ahead.
Caleb Shudak hits his field goal, but it was moving hard. Trey Wolf misses his. Shudak with the kickoff out of bounds. Do you think the confidence level is moving south on?
I think it would have to, right? And I like Shudak, and I like Wolf's leg, but if you can't, that's a position of trust. You have to be able to trust that they're going to be able to go out there and do what you ask them to do. And if you don't, it completely hamstrings what you do in a football game. So they have a really short period of time now to earn that trust. I would think that, you know, they're looking at what their other options are. You know, Shudak kicking it out of bounds, you know, really surprises me, but, you know, are they asking him to directionally kick the kickoff, and is that something he hasn't done much of? I don't know, but he's been here for over a year. So, you know, he's had time to work on it. Not to say that NFL kickers don't make that mistake, but when you're trying to make a football team for the first time, you can't make that mistake. And so that's disappointing. And, you know, with Wolf, you know, they drive you, they get you in that opportunity. You got to make that kick. And I know it's your first game, but you think that's pressure, you know, kicking the Super Bowl, you know, because that's, you know, not necessarily saying this team's going to go to the Super Bowl, but that's what they're looking for, the guy who can handle that moment. And you'd have to say neither of those guys handled the moment as well as they needed to, because they both made glaring mistakes.
Corey Curtis, News 2.
Thanks.
Forecasting a Bears-Titans Super Bowl. So good stuff, Corey.
I'm in.
There we go. Hey, why not? It could happen. Thanks, Corey.
All right. You guys have a great day. See you at camp.
And PK, you are leaving. Look at you. You're all ready to go. Got your little notepad. You ready? You got some questions for Craig Aukerman?
No.
Hey, Coach Aukerman, I got a question for you. No? Nothing for him?
I mean, maybe.
I hope you have your poncho ready to go.
There won't be an answer.
We want to time it out that Tim Kelly's ready to go at 8:45.
I'll do my part. All right, don't block the box. Do lock your locks.
There we go. Paul Kaharsky, and he'll be back tomorrow also. And we'll be back coming up next on Ryman Rexer, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie and Rex Show is presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty, where their advanced pay by TJ option can save you thousands when selling your home. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game in the Game Studio, sponsored by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, Electrical. If you'd like to get in the discussion, 102.5 The Game phone or text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Paul Kaharsky is off now to practice, which we just found out. Teresa Walker just sent a text to the whole group. The practice will be inside. So you said Junie. Nick said Junie Reel's out there for us. And sort of downpouring, huh?
Yes. Yeah. Well, the next show, Chase McCabe's show, will be live here from the studio as opposed to being out there today.
Okay, so another audible. Call
programming audibles. Note, yes. So got to stay dry. Got to keep everything all good to go for the rest of training camp. So, yeah, Junie Riddle filling in for Chase McCabe coming up next.
So, Junie is So, Junie is in doing Chase's show solo?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, Junie. Uh-oh. 2 hours of solo. I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it. All right, Junie. Good luck to you. And then Caroline Willie D-Mace will be out there still. Is that right, as far as we know?
As far as we know, yes. But
and Willie's back this week.
I was looking at the line for the rain. I highly doubt they're going to be out there. I'd be shocked if they were there. But we'll see.
But because don't they have a contingency, though? Like, you can still do it out there, don't they? They can put them in another spot.
I'm not sure.
They have a tent.
Well, yes, they do, but we'll see what it ends up looking like.
I mean, suck it up. Go out and do it in the rain. And, you know, Nick, go inside the grocery store. Come on.
I will go in the grocery store, Joe. That was a total generational rant. But, look, I typically go in there. I'm an older soul for kids my age. So I will have that for me. But, look, it makes sense. I'll be going inside. I typically do go inside. My significant other always made the orders. So I just had one inconvenience last week.
Yeah, you had some people who supported you, and that, you know, it wasn't all ranting at you for your rant. There was
right,
some support.
Right.
I got a text, Joe. What advice do you give Titans fans when they have to lock arms together with fingers crossed just for the kicker to attempt a 40-yard field goal? My heart aches every field goal attempt this team has. It's probably the underplayed storyline from Saturday. The dip in confidence that I think you've got to have in this kicking situation. That's the thing. I've just been so unclear. They've looked good in practice. It's like in a lot of sessions, each of them will miss one. So they'll go like 5 or 6, 4 for 5. They'll miss one, though, and it's like, man, now they've had some clean sheets. Don't get me wrong. But you don't want that one miss. And it's like, I don't know how this translates. I don't know. I don't have a great comparison point for what we've seen from these guys in practice. They're both talented. You know, obviously they have big legs. I mean, they have the talent to be NFL kickers, but you just don't know until you line up in an actual game setting, which is part of why these preseason games are important. And everybody's watching, and the other team's actually coming for you, and you got to get the operation just right, and you got to make it. And they, you know, Shudak made his, but it was not. That thing was tailing. It was drifting. He pushed it, and of course, Wolf pushed his and missed it. And I don't know from here. I don't think you scrap it and just go find whoever out there on the veteran market at this point. But I think you got to start thinking about that. Like, you need one of these guys to either really step forward and be excellent, or I think you have to look around. And look, the Titans had a pretty good kicker in Randy Bullock. He stabilized things for a bit, but last year it's a different season if he makes kicks you got to be able to make if you're a starting kicker in the NFL. And the Titans have just been in this kicker matrix since Ryan Succop's injury, going back years. I mean, it's just been wandering through the kicker desert, and I just don't know, based on what we saw Saturday, if they're about to get out of that. And that's not great, and especially for a team that is going to play the way this team is, going to play good defense. I think this offense is going to be improved, but I'm not forecasting, you know, 31 points a game like the Titans scored in 2020. I mean, I think we'll see improvement, but I think they're going to be in a lot of close games where, you know, you might have 3 field goal attempts, and you need to make all 3. You can't go 2 for 3. You got to make all 3. So it's a big concern that got lost a little bit in the quarterback battle and the one's offensive line, you know, playing well, which was I think probably the most encouraging thing, even though it was a short sample size, but it was encouraging. You can't look at what the offensive line did in this game and not, you know, think it's a little bit of a confidence boost for them. Another thing about that, you know, after the game, you know, Terrell Williams talking about that one's offensive line, you could tell, and I have to find the exact quote from him, and I don't know what we may do. I don't know if we have the sound for that, but I can find the exact quote. But, you know, he basically, unprompted, you can tell, and even like talking quickly to Andre Dillard after the game, I think these guys understand what people have been saying about them, and the fact that they've kind of been identified as, you know, as the weakness of this team. I mean, I think that's pretty obvious. So, you know, it was good for them to be able to answer that a little bit briefly, and we'll see how they do this week. But they needed some positivity. The ones defense of this team, you know, has just been wearing them out. That's just the reality of the situation. We do have coordinators coming up talking. We're going to try to time it out to get Tim Kelly's presser on for the last segment of the show. It's Craig Aukerman to start. Craig Aukerman, the most interviewed special teams coach in the NFL. He starts, then Tim Kelly, then I believe Shane Bowen goes at 9. So I don't know if Junie's planning on dipping into that at all, but Shane Bowen is supposed to go at the top of the hour for the start of that show. So we've got that ahead, and we've also got your favorite game, Silly Underdog Picks. It's back. Sign up today at thegamenashville.com or the 102.5 The Game app. Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. And, of course, you can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook Live every day. Video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Download their app today and use promo code The Game. We come back on Robbie and Rex Road. We will get back into the quarterback discussion, review how those guys did and where things go from here. Big week for both Malik Willis and Will Levis as the Titans prepare to go up to Minneapolis, have joint practices with the Vikings, and then play a preseason game there Saturday. Coming up next, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 of The Game. Join 102.5 and 106.3 The Game this Sunday, MTSU Athletics Fan Day. Fans can come out to see the football, volleyball, and track and field teams as the fall season is weeks away. You can get autographs, enjoy live music, along with inflatables, face painting, and balloon artists for the kids. The fun will be at Floyd Stadium from 3 to 5 this Sunday. You don't want to miss out. Welcome back into Robbie and Rex Road. And by the way, I have a giveaway here, Nick Kieser, that I gotta give away, right?
Got
a four-pack to PBR Stampede Days at Bridgestone Arena. That is this Saturday. Since it's a four-pack, how about we say caller four right now?
Let's do it.
You will get the four-pack to PBR Stampede Days.
Got to go watch the Bulls, man. That's actually really fun. I think I've seen it some on TV. I've never been, so that is one event I would be very curious on going to.
Yeah, so when I tell a Michigan State story, I used to cover Michigan State beat for a long time, and Michigan State, you know, in the state of Michigan, people call it Moo U. I mean, it's an, you know, started as an agricultural university. They have a huge facility for rodeos, and one time they had like a few of us sports writers like try to like lasso stuff. It was I was atrocious, as you might guess, but no, it was very, very cool. Rodeos are very cool. On the text line, we've got some few different thoughts I want to get to, driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com. So Santa, and this is a frequent theme, Santa in Portland. Why do some teams play their starters and other teams do not? Help me understand how not playing them is beneficial outside of not getting injured in the game. I mean, the benefit is exactly that, Santa. I mean, that is what it's all about. But let's look at who the Titans played and who they didn't. I mean, I think it matches up with what we've seen all camp. Mike Vrabel's not going to get – like, these defensive players have played together for a long time. They're the core of that defense. They know what they're running. They got the same DC. They got the same system. They know each other well. So, Jeff Simmons, Danico Autry, Harold Landry, Kevin Byard, Imani Hooker, Christian Fulton, Roger McCreary, they're all not playing. Along with new guys, Sean Murphy Bunting, Arden Key, Azeez Al-Shaair. Those guys have folded in really seamlessly with this defense. They're veterans. They're good players. The defense looks really good right now, and I wouldn't change a thing there. Like, you just – I mean, I'm sure as a Titans fan, you know, it's frustrating to, like, watch a game and see atrocious tackling on a couple long screen passes, but the bottom line is those are backups who are not playing this year unless you've got serious injury problems, and it's just not worth getting hurt for that. I also – agree with the decision. Now, look, you can make the case more for, like, some Tannehill time out there with Burks and with Hopkins if you want. I would not. I personally would sit. I'm not getting people hurt in a preseason game. And Tannehill, as we saw with the other two quarterbacks. We saw with Willis and Levis. They both got hit in that game. Both got sacked four times. Willis in particular, I know on one play, avoided what could have been a big hit. Levis took a pretty big one. But you're getting tackled to the ground, and I'm just not messing with that with Tannehill. I think the same thing, Tannehill and the chemistry and timing, you can work on those things in practice. You can work on those things this week, going against the Vikings, going against different people. So I wouldn't do it. Why do some people play their starters, Santa? That's a good question. We've seen a little bit more of that, although it's still really brief series just to try to get a look at it, and then you get them out of there. I wouldn't do it. Now, who did play? The starting offensive line. Why? One, they need the work. They need to get better. They need to get better working together. They need to execute better. And they did. They had a positive series, you know, and that's a big thing. Also, you think about offensive line. We talked about this some last week, but like offensive line in practice, offensive line in a preseason game. There's no difference in terms of those, you know, skill players. There's a difference. You get tackled to the ground. That is a difference. Another team tackling you to the ground, it's more risk. They're just people are going full speed. They're playing the football game. It's different. Offensive line, I mean, these guys in practice, even on non-padded days, you know, not fully padded days, they're still doing all the movements. They're still taking on blocks and all that stuff. It's kind of the same level of danger, right? I mean, the biggest danger for an offensive lineman is just someone falling into you and rolling up on you. And then obviously you can have a non-contact thing, you know, where you can hurt a knee or something like that. But it's not that much different. So I would expect them to play more. I would expect them to play again and get the first series Saturday. And I would also expect, like PK was saying earlier, you know, Will Levis to get that series so he gets a look with the better players. I mean, that the best drive of the day for the Titans was with the ones offensive line, with Tyjae Spears at running back. So I would think that they would flip-flop that. Raymond says, our last win was November 17th, almost 9 months ago. I really need to see more to have some warm fuzzies about this team. Yeah, I get that. But, I mean, like to me, if the Titans go 0-4, or I'm sorry, thankfully they can't go 0-4, they can go 0-3. If the Titans go 0-3 in the preseason, but that offensive line looks functional and competent in its time playing, and the backup defense keeps getting shredded and they lose the games, I mean, you just got to take it for what it is. It's just the results do not matter. I understand the Baltimore Ravens, you know, have won a million straight preseason games. Good for them. Didn't do much for them in the actual games last year. Unnamed Texas says, I wonder if Tannehill goes down or is either guy ready to start? Well, that to me was, I mean, that's what I wrote about the Athletic off the game Saturday, is that, like, Willis takes the improvement we think we've seen to a game, and it's a lot more confirmation. Of course, a lot more people now saw it. I mean, he's a lot better. Will Levis, I think for a rookie, I honestly think he's right around where you would think he would be. I know some people would disagree with that, and I agree that you want him to make a jump and to really push Willis, and that it's probably some level of disappointment if he's QB3. But the biggest factor in that is Willis's improvement. Are they ready to start? I think the Titans with either of those guys would have a chance to have a legitimate NFL offensive game plan and go into a particular game and have a chance. I think they are with either of them. Absolutely, well, way better off than they were last year when Malik Willis had to start games. I mean, they were so limited. He was so limited. It was bad. And it's much better than that. I mean, if Tannehill misses 6 weeks, you know, they're probably toast. I mean, and there's still a big gap between him and those two guys, and that's a concern for next year. I don't know that either of these guys will be a starter quality, you know, QB next year. That's a long way to go from here to there. But this year, I think the Titans actually have a chance to be decent, solid at QB2, and they were atrocious at QB2 last year. So that's a win. If you have a week or two here or there, or you have a game, you got a lead, Tannehill twists an ankle, has to leave, you know, I think either of those guys will be able to come in, run the offense, and give you a chance. And last year you just couldn't say it. I mean, good for Josh Dobbs doing what he did, but how ridiculous is it that you have to go find him and plug him in, and he's immediately able to start. And he, I mean, he almost won you that game at Jacksonville. So that just, you just don't want to be in that situation again, and they won't be. So that area of the football team is better, and it's an important and often underrated area of the football team. Will from Nashville asked me, how was Springsteen? Springsteen was great. My first Bruce Springsteen. Thanks for asking. You know, PK's been to like 78 of them or whatever, but yes, I would highly recommend you to go to a Bruce Springsteen show if you can. The guy's 73 years old and could beat the crap out of most people who were in that stadium, Wrigley Field on Friday night. It was pretty remarkable. So we have got, so the Titans are, they're going to start their coordinator stuff here pretty soon. So Craig Aukerman starting out, obviously within the special teams front, not great from the kicker. So I am interested to hear what Craig Aukerman has to say about that. You know, a lot of what's going on right now with special teams is evaluating guys, looking at different gunners. Vrabel talked yesterday about maybe some threes becoming twos and twos becoming threes. Interesting kind of gunner situation. I do think Racy McMath's snaps the other day are interesting from the standpoint of, yeah, if they view him as, you know, key, you know, central to the special team, to the kicking game, obviously he's going to make the team. And I've kind of drifted away from Racy making the team, but I thought he did some decent stuff with the offense too. He got a lot of opportunity there on Saturday. So we're going to take a. Did you have a winner, Nick? You had a winner in the.
Yes, I did get a winner.
PBR Stampede
so
days.
We are all set there. But looking forward to hearing what Craig Aukerman says here after the break, though, Joe, because the kicker situation was something that you got to get a good feel on for last week. So
what I'm looking forward to is for two questions to be asked of Craig Aukerman, and then when we come back, Tim Kelly's. That's what I'm looking forward to, but you know, usually doesn't time it exactly how you want. So we'll get a break and we'll come back. Robbie and Rex are 1025-106-3 the game. All right, welcome back in. Robbie Rex with the final segment today. We're going to go right out to St. Thomas Sports Park where special teams coordinator Craig Aukerman is addressing the media.
In the punts, using that sideline as the extra tackler, or is it, is location the biggest issue?
Yeah, I think there he just mishit the ball. He's trying to be too perfect. That's his thing. He's got a high standard for himself. We have a high standard for him. He just tries to be too perfect. You know, we talk about his footwork all the time. That's going to be key. It's going to start out with his footwork. And it was just a little bit off. He was hopping into the ball, kind of made his drop just a little bit inside. So those are the stuff that we'll work on today and throughout the week.
Like especially with Wolf, like how do you? What's the grading scale for those guys, and how much does one kick matter in the scope of things?
Yeah, I mean, we take every kick and not necessarily grade every single kick because it's a body of work. Whether it's through the training camp and the preseason, obviously the preseason games are going to count just a little bit more. But, you know, we'll take everything into consideration, you know, what he's done in practice, what he's done this next preseason game, and kind of go. And I still feel it's neck and neck with those guys because, you know, obviously Caleb kicking the one at the end of the half was good. Trey made, did a really good job on the one kickoff that he had, got the ball up in the air. And we made the tackle inside the 20-yard line. So we'll continue to work those guys and, make a decision who knows when.
How crucial are these next 2 weeks for Caleb and Trey?
Yeah, it's big. Obviously, they're battling for a spot. Gives them an opportunity to, you know, start in an NFL game. So it's going to be a big 2 weeks, but we're going to handle it day by day. And I know those guys are ready to get out there and compete again.
Some of the biggest focuses on this next week in kicking game?
Yeah, I mean, basically all four core, we're going to continue to see guys, that made some plays for us, and they're going to get more opportunities. So, the biggest part is guys playing as fast as they possibly can with some technique. And those guys that did really well, they're going to get that opportunity to showcase their skills again this week. So it's going to be a big week for all the core guys too.
From being able to fight through contact and getting downfield, who may be
impress you there?
Yeah, I think, you know, when you look at the preseason, you're going to get a lot of what we call six box, where our gunners are going to go get double pressed all the time. And it's great work for us, especially the gunners, because we're going to see who's going to be competitive, who's going to be able to fight, who's going to be able to use the techniques that we're teaching. You know, we thought Anthony Kendall, Matt Jackson, even Racy on his one did a really good job, whether they split them or use the out of bounds as a weapon for us. But, you know, it's going to be tough for those guys because they're all going to get double pressed. But it's a really good teaching aspect that we can go off of and see if they can actually play for us when they get double pressed.
And only one return for Kyle. What's his point of emphasis as he kind of starts that path again to be a returner, just kind of hit it? And did he do that on Saturday?
Yeah, you know, it all starts with the catch, and he did a great job of squaring up to it and catching the ball and then running and getting vertical. You know, we tell the guys we want to get the first down. He obviously did that, made a couple moves, so we were excited for him to be out there and make a play.
All right, thank you,
Coach.
Thank you.
That was special teams coordinator Craig Aukerman, the most interviewed special teams coordinator in the NFL, and way too many questions for him. But there are some relevant questions, obviously, about the kicking situation. As he said, neck and neck for those guys. And Kyle Phillips, by the way, he did look good on that punt return. And I think he's going to be the guy who's going to get another opportunity. So Tim Kelly is next up, offensive coordinator for the Titans. Here we go.
How'd you feel like the quarterbacks handled the alternating series situation?
Yeah, I think they did a good job handling it. You know, both had some really good plays. Both had some good opportunities to be able to learn from some of the performance stuff. But in terms of the rotation, they did a great job handling that.
I know you weren't the same role last year, but maybe just take a look at some of the strides that the team have made, just in what you see there.
Yeah, he played faster on Saturday, which was good. That was the big thing that we talked to him about, is we wanted him to make sure that, you know, he played to his time speed. So he played fast. You know, his decision making was better. He appeared to play on time, more so than what we've seen in his previous game exposure. So I thought Malik took a good step for us here on Saturday.
And as far as Will, what were some of the positives you saw from his game? What are some things that obviously showed he's still a rookie?
Yeah, you know, there's some things. Obviously, now having a live pass rush, knowing when we need to step up, you know, when the journey's over, when we may have to ditch one. But you look at his ability to be able to get the ball out when he was playing on time. You know what I mean? He had some really good throws for us. And again, it's a good learning situation for him to be able to come back in here today, be able to watch it, now get a true understanding as to why we're doing things a certain way, and again, looking forward to see his growth here from game one to game two.
Is that really the only way to improve that kind of feel, is to get those live game reps preseason or
regular season? I think, you know, obviously the more live reps you can get, the better off you're going to be with that. You know, it's a different deal when those guys can actually hit you, in terms of being able to feel the pocket and being able to step up and maneuver within the pocket. And so, yeah, I think the live bullets you get there are invaluable. Yeah, you know, he's first of all, he's got to continue to focus on ball security and just do a good job with that. But yeah, you saw his ability to stick his foot in the ground. You know, he showed that he can be a hard tackle on the open field. And he caught the ball the one time the ball found him. So, you know, very, very pleased with Tajay. And, again, looking forward to him to continue to improve here.
How about the offensive line, the first movement in that one series that they got? How did you like what they were able to do?
Yeah, they kept Malik clean. They were able to push some piles. They were able to get some movement in the run game. And again, the more that those guys are going to be able to play and gel together, the better off we're going to be. So I thought they all individually did some good things, and collectively as a unit did what we asked them to do. We wanted them to play physical. We wanted them to kind of set the tone and put our brand of football on tape. We wanted them to keep the quarterback clean, and I think they did all three things.
Where's Ryan right now?
And he's in the locker room. Go ahead. As far as what?
As far as mastery of the offense, control of everything.
I feel great. I feel great with where he's at. You know, being able to sit in there and just and watch our tape, you know, kind of watch the film of the defense and what we're expecting. What we're expecting if you see A, B, and C in terms of the different coverages. And I think he's doing a really good job of playing on time. And then, again, like as we get going here with the situations, just looking forward to him continuing to grow there. And he's been on the money with his decisions, and I think he's missed a throw or two. But other than that, he's been playing pretty good for us.
How important is this work, I guess, for your frontliners coming up this week with the Vikings as far as – imagine these joint practices will be your most extensive work for some of these guys. Where can they benefit most?
Yeah, anytime you get to go against another team, I think that's crucial. It's going to be good for us to be able to go up there and see some different things schematically, in terms of what we've been seeing from Shane and what we're anticipating seeing up there, and just being able to go against players that have different skill sets. That's a big part of it. As the opponents change each and every week, got to be able to kind of adapt to what we're doing and how we're going to attack them, and how, you know, individually we need to put ourselves in the best position possible. So it's going to be good. It's going to be a good challenge. We're looking forward to it.
With the young quarterbacks, what are you looking for them to do, you know, as they continue their competition there behind Ryan?
Yeah, continuing to grow, continuing to protect the football. We got to do a better job with that. Can't turn the ball over. First and foremost, so we got to protect the football. We got to do a better job with our ball security within the pocket, and then just continuing to play on time and play within the system.
But in the joint practice,
yeah, same deal. Like the decision making in terms of not jamming balls into tight windows, being able to be accurate when there's people around you. All those different things are going to come up in those.
What do you tell Josh Wiley? I mean, his first NFL game probably didn't go like he wanted to. How do you kind of deal with that with him?
Yeah, I mean, he's got another chance to come out there and get better today. That's the biggest thing, is that our guys need to understand that, you know, that was a learning opportunity for him. And so there's going to be things that as we talk to Josh this morning and this afternoon and as we move forward here, same deal with the quarterbacks. Like, hey, this is why we emphasize, you know, these things during the week of practice. And we got to see the things that we do on the practice field translate on Saturdays or Sundays, you know, during the season. The biggest thing is just continuing to get him to grow and get him reps and continue to let him play fast.
What are you looking forward to offensively from the growth from one game to the next preseason?
I couldn't hear the question. I'm sorry.
What are you looking forward to in terms of the offense and trying to looking to see from the offense from one game to the next?
Yeah, protect the ball. I mean, you can't win any games in the NFL turning the ball over four times. So that's paramount. We got to do a better job making sure that we're not exposing the football. Got to do a better job of making sure we're taking advantage of a short field, right? Our defense did a good job creating some turnovers, and we got to do a better job being able to take advantage of that. So those would be the two major areas that we want to improve on.
And you coached both upstairs and downstairs during your career as OC, and have you settled where you think you'll be this season, and maybe what's the benefit of being there? So.
Yeah, I'll be wherever Coach Vrabel wants me to be. You know, being able to be upstairs, you see everything. Being able to be on the field is you feel everything. So there's some pros and cons to both. But wherever Coach Vrabel wants me to be, that's where I'll be.
Tim, with Chig being like the main guy in the tight end room now, have you seen him grow as a leader? And if so, what does that look like in the building and maybe interacting with the other guys in the room?
Yeah, it's been good, having Chig kind of share his experience in the first year with some of the rookies, some of the lessons that he learned, and being able to kind of pass that knowledge off to some of the younger guys. In terms of his leadership style, like he's just, the smile is contagious. You feel his energy whenever you talk to him. And that's been great to see that walk around the building and being able to communicate with him and just know that when he's here, he loves football, he loves the work, he loves the process. And I think that's the biggest thing, that as far as being a leader, just being able to continually do that day in and day out.
Has Nicholas Kiefer, been handling his situation? And it'd be tough in a game situation where he's playing with guys that he really hadn't played with before.
Yeah, you're right. Nick's in a unique situation here. He's doing what he can in order to be able to kind of block out the distractions. And just trying to take advantage of every rep that he's getting here, knowing kind of what's coming down here in a couple of weeks. But, he's here every day. He's working. He's putting the work in. And, again, just looking for him to continue to take advantage of the reps that he's getting during these practices.
How do you evaluate some of the backup offensive linemen, maybe who
who did well, who might need to clean some things up.
Yeah, I think you could probably go down the line and say they all did some good things and they all did some bad things. The biggest thing is that we just need to continue to focus on playing our style of football, being physical. I think the one run Hassan had, it would have been in the second quarter in the low red, right? They had a really good pile push. Corey was there. You know what I mean? You saw X kind of come up, and that's the stuff that we want to see consistently. And then we need to continue to improve on protecting the quarterback. Now, a lot of that, however many we had, I think we had eight. I think half of them at least were due to, you know, quarterback issues there. We got to get the ball out on time. But just continuing to work the different techniques that we're using, and hopefully we can continue to see the improvements that we see during practice on the game tape.
Played a lot of different spots as you worked with him through camp. How do you do a tackle?
Yeah, I mean, he's a big joker when he's out there, right? So he's big. He plays hard. He tries to play physical. He doesn't try to play physical. He does play physical. And so when he was out there, you know, he was playing against a good player, and he went out there and held his own. So the good thing about Rupp is that, you know, he's smart. He's got different position flexibility, being able to kind of play multiple spots. And so he did everything that we asked him to do on Saturday and played hard.
That was Titans offensive coordinator Tim Kelly talking about the preseason game. That's it for Robbie and Rex Show today. Coming up next, Chase McCabe's show, Junie Riddle in for Chase. 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.